We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's quickly catch up on the text line. Mark, when you mentioned Mookie Betts, at least introduce him as the Greenville Drive's own Mookie Betts. Sheesh, Mark, tighten up, LOL. This is exactly where I get no help from Lonzo, number one, but number two, where I need you guys.
Really?
Don't clear your throat. I'm talking now.
So you're gonna throw this on me?
I'm absolutely.
You're really gonna throw this on me?
Yeah. Dump everything else on you. Why not?
Any baseball help from me ever.
This is where I need y'all's help because I have no idea who played for the Greenville Drive. And I know Dustin Pedroia was down here last year for a rehab stint, but I have no idea. Like Mookie Betts, I'm sure is
look it up.
Listen, Lonzo, do I have to look up every single player? Do I have to look up every single player who's ever played?
Well, sure, why not? It's your job.
There you go, Lonzo. This is the job of our audience.
The team hasn't been around that long, so it wouldn't be that hard to do.
Let's see. Panda says, in terms of Mike Trout, he would have gotten that deal from any team that could afford it. Angels had to make that move. Imagine the backlash they would have gotten if they didn't. You don't have to jump off a cliff just because other people are going to jump off a cliff. The Mike Trout deal is a cliff diving contract. I never understand this, man. Oh, if we hadn't drafted this, if we hadn't drafted Jamarcus Russell number one, somebody else would have taken him two and three. No. I only care about you. And then another texter says, I don't understand how 100,000 people, it's 253,000, sir, give two figs about what a 60-year-old man says on the radio. Listen, the only thing that was more harmful than that you could have said is little grapes, okay? Do I really sound like a 60-year-old grumpy-ass old man? Do I sound like that on the radio here? There's no way I sound 60 years old.
Say back in my day.
Hey, back in my day.
Yeah.
Podcasts back in my day.
Wow.
This is incredible,
yeah,
man.
You sound about 62 and a half.
This is ridiculous. I'm offended by you. I'm offended by this text.
There's
I'm
a big difference between 100,000 and, what did you say, 263,000?
253,000.
253. Sorry, I added an extra 10.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, there's a difference. That's kind of a big deal.
It is kind of a big deal. I just want to figure out how we can keep it going. We're joined right now for his weekly segment by Tim Frisbee. You know him as Pops. You've seen him on the late night show with Jay Leno. You've seen him on late night with David Letterman. And he played for Lou Holtz. He played for Steve Spurrier. He joins us right now. Tim, because you have a ton of wisdom, which I'm sure you are well younger than the age of 60, Tim. So you are well younger than I am. What was your general take on the storm that I found myself embroiled in the last 24 hours on social media? I'm sure you're shocked, Tim, that I was involved in that.
What exact storm was that?
The one that you liked today about, see, he doesn't even know, Lonzo. Big deal. The thing about the fandom? About the fandom and
oh,
you liked
okay,
it this morning?
Yeah.
Remember all that?
Oh,
went
yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
Went nuts. Well, what was your take on that?
I told you my piece was, and that's the one where you said if you're a fan of you should be a fan of all the teams in the city.
Correct.
And my take on this was, see, I grew up in Pennsylvania, halfway between New York City exactly, and halfway and Philadelphia. So we had all the network channels from both New York City and Philadelphia. As kids, we watched what the adults watched in the house. So in that case, I became my family watched. The Yankees and the Knicks for basketball, and they watched the Eagles and the Flyers for hockey. So that became my allegiance. So, I mean, I wasn't a Philly guy. I wasn't a New York guy. I was split in half, even though almost everybody around me was, like you said, an all Philadelphia fandom. But it just, you know, just so happened that's how I was. But, yeah, I can see how people get riled up about that. But, you know, that was just my take on it.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That's what I think. Everybody's got their own passionate story about that. And that's why I think it's actually a fun topic. All right, Tim, let's get to the Gamecocks. What is your early season grade for what you've seen so far?
Well, you know, at 2-2, and I think we could have easily beat, and I expected us to beat Tennessee, and we probably should have. We're 2-2 instead of 3-1, but I don't think, you know, people can be disappointed at this point. You know, there were some grumblings, obviously. You're always going to have that. But being 2-2 with the possibility of being able to go 3-2 out of this first five-game break, I would say that's pretty good.
I would give it
a C plus.
Whoa!
Room for much room for improvement.
C plus. See, yeah. You beat Auburn, man. I don't want to take your class. Signing up for your class. That's tough.
And that's great, but I have higher expectations, and I think you know that was great getting that monkey off our back. But you know, there's why I say it's C plus because I leave room for improvement. Almost a B, but a high C plus.
C plus is the grade for a Gamecocks team that just beat Auburn, a team they had beaten one time in 12 games. Unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. So how do they now make this a habit, Tim? How do they continue this suddenly resurgent level of play?
Well, you think a one time in 10 games was bad. Let's have no illusions here. The Gamecocks are 2-1-18 versus LSU. The current streak sits at 6. Last time the Gamecocks won was 1994, 26 years ago. You know, between 2002 and 2015, under Coach Holtz and Spurrier in that time frame, still weren't able to crack the LSU code. So this is another game, just like Auburn, where we need to get that monkey off our back. And, you know, that's what we want to go down to the Bayou and do on Saturday.
So how do you do that? What do you need to do?
Well, how we do that is, first of all, we have to continue with the run game, getting Harris and Fenwick involved and having them have quality days from that running back position. You're going to have to get somebody else to stand up at receiver other than Shai Smith. You know, obviously today you learned that Jalen Brooks is back. I don't expect too much of him out of it this week. I'm not going to put too much high expectations on that kid for his first game in the SEC at this level. But I would rather be pleasantly surprised if he gives us some numbers on Saturday, get somebody else to stand out. We're going to need some explosive plays. Get two or three explosive plays. You win the turnover battle, you can win this game Saturday.
So in a normal home field advantage in college football is worth 3.5 points. This year, they seem to be worth 2 to 3 points. I need you to explain something to me, Tim. In my SEC power poll, I have the Gamecocks 6th and LSU 13th. I have them as the worst team in the West, as evidenced by losses to two teams immediately in front of them, Missouri and Mississippi State, and I have them second worst in the entire conference. They beat Vanderbilt, so you have to put them ahead of the Commodores. Then how in God's name is LSU a 6-point favorite in this game, especially when you consider that Miles Brennan, their starting quarterback, is likely not going to play? You know, like, well, I don't want to spoil my upset pick a day early, but in my opinion, South Carolina is a good team. LSU is a bad team right now. It's really quite that simple.
Yeah, and that's easily explainable. The pundits are going by tradition, you know, and in this case, a lot of things favor the Gamecocks. You know, normally playing in Tiger Stadium is a hellish experience. You know, you're talking about 108,000 people. It becomes their 12th man, the real Death Valley down there. I'll tell you that you take that out of the equation. I think if anything, the lack of crowd has affected LSU this year more than any SEC team, because they're used to that it's very hard to hear down there. Just like I said, a hellish experience as a opposing player when you come in there. And then just the massive change.
Yeah, but imposing with 8,000 people there? 16,000 people
no, no.
there? Come on.
No, that's what I'm saying. That's going to affect them more than any team, I think, in the SEC West, because they're used to that. So that's definitely going to be something that the Gamecocks are going to be able to take advantage of from an offensive standpoint, just being able to get your calls in, not being kind of sped up by the crowd. It's definitely a Gamecock lean there.
I'll tell you what. I tell people, Tim, to bet against the Yankees every single year, because the odds makers know that all the Yankee fans are going to throw all their money on them. It's the same right now with the New England Patriots. You can get the best bet in the NFL by betting against the Patriots, whatever team they're playing. That is literally the best bet because of the fanatical nature of their fan base. The only reason LSU's favored over the Gamecocks is because their name is LSU at this point. I see no X and O or personnel reason why they should be favored by even a single point over the Gamecocks in this game. You know, you guys have watched these games, right? You've seen them. There's no way, and I'll go as far as to say this, Tim. If the Gamecocks lose this game, they erase any positive that they generated with Auburn. Agree or disagree?
No, I agree. They should be approaching this as a winnable game when they go down there. It's just as simple as that. You know, they have a lot of things going in their favor. You know, LSU's kind of reeling. They're under a heel. So now's the time you need to take advantage of them.
Do you understand, Tim? Do you understand fans like Lonzo that root against, essentially, the Gamecocks because he wants Will Muschamp out? Do you understand fans who are at that level of suffering right now?
No, not at all. I mean, you know, I understand, you know, you're always going to have people upset. But, you know, you take things year to year. You take things based on talent, on expectations. Muschamp has a lot of room to improve. But he's doing a half-decent job. And, again, we've said this from the beginning of the year. Who else are you going to get in there right now at this point? You know, you have to look at it like that. And, you know, there comes a time where, you know, you have to kind of put your foot to the pedal and kind of go with what you have, see what you can do, instead of always looking around the turn for the next big thing.
I don't suppose I could jump in here for a second. Let me just say I've never openly said that I root against the Gamecocks. Here's what I've said. I want them to win, but if they don't, I'm not that upset because I would like them to. There's a difference between that stance and saying, man, I just want them to lose every game. I don't. I want them to win, but if they don't, I'm not that upset because I know that's one more step of him being out the door.
I don't know. That sounds like he's okay with losses to me, ladies and gentlemen. How about you? Okay, Tim, where does this team still have to improve? You watched the game last weekend. You know, I kind of felt like Auburn dominated the first half. You looked at the total yardage. I think it was 236 to 119, and you know it was really tight because of the two Bo Nix interceptions. But then I really thought the Gamecocks imposed their will in the second half. As you kind of digest what you've seen thus far, where are areas of improvement, areas of focus now moving forward?
Well, you know, the Gamecocks are at this point much better in run blocking than they are in pass blocking. You can be sure Bo Pelini is going to dial up a bunch of blitzes on Saturday to try to affect Colin Hill back there. You know, if you give Hill some time to throw, though, you know, he's going to be able to pick you apart. The guy's very poised back there in the pocket. What goes against him is his elusiveness. He's not elusive, so he's not going to escape from the pocket too much, and you know, they're not going to dial up too many quarterback runs. So have to get better in the pass blocking area for sure. And as far as the defense, you saw a little bit more gambling last Saturday, which I like. Now you have Brennan out this game. You're going to have inexperienced quarterbacks in this game. South Carolina is going to have to dial up the pressure. Their corners are going to have to take a little bit more chances. You call it slicing. They're going to have to get up on in front of receivers, rely on their safety help, and make those new inexperienced quarterbacks make kind of perfect throws. You're going to make them throw in the brackets, throw in between them. And like I said, if you can win that turnover game, that goes a long way to being able to win this game on Saturday.
His name is Tim Frisbee. You know him as Pops. Played for Lou Holtz, played for Steve Spurrier, appeared on the Jay Leno Show, appeared on Late Night with David Letterman, and he joins us every single week for some Gamecock insights right here Wednesday at 3:20 p.m. Tim, appreciate you, man. Thank you so very much. Good luck this Saturday.
All the time. That's right. Let's go, Cox. All right.
There you go. Tim Frisbee. Joining us here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.